This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, which recently celebrated the grand opening of its all-new golf course. The rebirth of this historic course is now available for both members and non-members, and located conveniently between Milwaukee and Madison in the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc. See what all the talk is about with this remake of one of the oldest courses in the state and test your game with native fescue grasses, undulating greens, and Scottish roots. Book your tee time today at clubatlaclabelle.com. Alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. It is a major championship week, Gary D'Amato, but it doesn't feel like a major championship week. It's PGA Championship this week at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Steve Stricker is in the field, but it snuck up on us. I can't believe it's August, first of all, but to be a major championship week now in August. We had just gotten used to last year to the PGA going back to May. Help me out here. Help me get in the major championship mode.
Yeah, Rob, there's really – I haven't detected much buzz about the PGA. And I think part of it is that, with the schedule being what it was and the Masters and the U.S. Open being moved, we haven't had that buildup of majors. We haven't had a Masters champion and a U.S. Open champion and a British Open champion or whatever. Of course, now the PGA is back in May. But, I mean, the schedule is so discombobulated that all of a sudden here we are in PGA Championship week. You're right. I didn't even realize it until we talked about it a little bit ago.
And with the exception of Tiger Woods, who apparently will return this week, everybody's played. I mean, everybody's been in fields. They've been strong fields. Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, all the big names, Rory McIlroy. These events since the restart have been great to watch because it's the biggest names in golf.
The fields have been incredible. Some of these tournaments that normally wouldn't get those kind of fields have really benefited in a twisted way from what's happened here. Every week is packed with pretty good names. And of course this week is the biggest week with just about everybody in the top 100 in the world ranking, in the field. So anxious to see Tiger Woods return and to see if Brooks Koepka can follow up on a pretty good week.
And then just to put a bow on our quick conversation here about the PGA Championship, we're coming off of a World Golf Championship event, the FedEx St. Jude Invitational in Memphis. Justin Thomas rallies to win with Jim McKay, Bones on the bag. I like that pairing.
Justin's caddy, of course, is Jimmy Johnson, his regular caddy, who's Steve Stricker's former caddy, and apparently he had some vertigo problems or some problems with his balance and went through some tests. I was surprised, Rob, a little bit. I mean, we all know how good Justin Thomas is, but that was his 13th victory already on the PGA Tour. He's racking them up pretty quickly.
And Gary, Phil Mickelson T2 yesterday.
Yeah.
Is he for real?
Yeah. Hey, Phil isn't done yet. I mean, somebody just asked me today when he's going to go to the Champions Tour or if he's eligible. I said, yeah, he's eligible, but he wants to play with these young kids still, thinks he can still hang with them and is proving that he can.
And we'll talk about another 50-year-old who is on the Champions Tour who won yesterday a little bit later when we kind of look back at a couple other things. But I didn't want to put off any more. We spent most of last week following with, just a wonderful event last week, the 119th Wisconsin State Amateur. And we, you were on the grounds. I was following from afar. It really, truly was one of the great state amateur championships. And what Thomas Longbella did, winning with a 6-under par score and really distinguishing himself from the field. He was one of the guys we talked about last week, Gary, but there were a lot. We didn't know whether it would be experience that won out or whether it would be one of these, young guys that was still left in the field, not playing at the Western Amateur, that would come out on top. And boy, Thomas Longbella really looked good.
Wow, Rob, shooting in the 60s, all four rounds at Milwaukee Country Club, par was 70 because they converted two of the par fives into par fours. So to break par in all four rounds, the consistency that he displayed is something that we just don't see from a lot of guys at that age on championship setups. Usually someone will follow a 67 with a 72 or 73, and it's hard to be that consistent on such a difficult golf course. But he pulled it off despite a triple bogey, I think, in the third round. Just increased his lead and just kept his foot on the gas, kept making birdies, made a couple early in the final round Thursday, and then, you know, made a couple mistakes, but nothing glaring, and just pulled away from everybody. I mean, he just was demonstrably better than everybody else in the field last week.
And he's a guy from Chippewa Falls who went across the river to play at the University of Minnesota. He's going back for his COVID eligibility year this year, assuming we get the season off, without delay. But the Minnesota Gophers program, and you wrote about it early in the week, he caddied last week for a teammate of his who got an exemption into the 3M Open. And I think learned a lot from that. That's something that Thomas Longbella eventually wants to do. And he wasn't, though, Gary, one of the guys that was first on our list as to can't-miss guys that could really make it in professional golf. From what you saw at Milwaukee Country Club, does Thomas Longbella have the game to make the leap to the next level?
Yeah, you know, it's so hard predicting, Rob. You know, we've all seen some guys that we thought were going to make it that have struggled, and some guys that we didn't expect to make it have exceeded expectations. But from what I saw, he has every bit of the game and maybe more importantly, the mental aspect, the mental part of it to play championship golf and to make it to one of the big tours. He's definitely long enough. I mean, he made a bogey on a par three on the 12th hole in the final round. And the 13th hole, Rob, is a par four, dogleg right, 385 yards. He hauled out his driver when the other guys, I think Tyler Leach hit a three wood, and I'm not sure what Nate Thompson hit, but Thomas pulled out a driver and almost drove the green on a 385-yard hole. He was right in the neck between two bunkers, about 20 feet short of the putting surface. So even if he did cut the dogleg and cut off 30 or 40 yards, I mean, he still hit a 340 to 350. So he definitely has the length, which we know is the biggest prerequisite out of success on the big tours.
But, and we talked about it in the lead up to the state amateur, you had to think your way around the golf course, especially the way Bill Linneman and the WSGA staff sets up the golf course. You just, you know, it's not all bomb and gouge. You got to pick your spots. Obviously, he picked one there, but he also knew when to dial it back. And what impressed me was, you know, if he did make a mistake on the scorecard, he would follow it up quickly with, you know, a birdie or, you know, a run of pars, which, you know, last week were as good as a birdie in many respects.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he made one big mistake in the whole tournament, and that was the triple bogey he made in the third round. He just said he did some dumb things. He just had some mental errors on that hole. But the thing was, he looked around and said, I've still got a one-shot lead. Nothing's changed. I'm still in the lead. I'm just going to go back to doing exactly what I've done that's gotten me here, and he did. And I think less experienced players, as we've seen, Rob, would, you know, a triple bogey would be followed by a string of bogeys and there they go. But he was able to reverse it very quickly and get right back on track.
And let's not forget, this is a guy who finished runner up twice and including that 8-hole playoff to Harrison Ott a couple years ago up in Monaco, where you figured, you know, that might've been Thomas's best chance, but you know, demons be gone. I mean, he just wouldn't let, you know, his history, you know, bring the concept of, you know, am I going to finish it off or what if, or any of these, you know, doubts. I mean, it's good. And as I look at the leaderboard here, a very, very young leaderboard. I mean, I've got the top eight up here on my screen and I'm not sure there's, you know, more than one guy. I mean, Nick Nelson looks like an old guy compared to all these other guys up there at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah. And Nick is what, 26, I think. Right. Yeah, he was the old man on the first page of the leaderboard. Yeah, it was a bunch of young guys, and we've definitely seen that trend in recent years. The days of, you know, guys like Bob Gregorski and Mark Bomowski and John Palin in their 30s winning these things, I wouldn't say they're over, but I think it's harder and harder for a mid-am to win the state amateur these days. Joe Weber had a nice state am. He's had a great year, 36 years old, Dennis from Onalaska. You know, winning the Ray Fisher and finishing runner-up in the match play. And had a nice state amateur, but I think it just shows the extra gear that some of these kids have.
Well, we've talked about Thomas Longbella, co-runners up Tyler Leach of Marquette, Nate Thompson, who's wrapping up his college career at Toledo. They look good at times, Gary, and you know, put the pressure on for as long as they could, but just didn't really get close enough in the final round to really make Thomas Longbella look over his shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. Thomas had a big lead for the entire day, and it grew into double digits, and you know, it was as big as 11 until he bogeyed the final hole, a meaningless bogey. I wrote that it was there's a few things more anticlimactic in golf than a tap and bogey to win by 10 shots. there's no drama in that, Rob. But yeah, but you know, Tyler and Nate played exceptionally well. You would think that at some point, as you know, if they remain amateurs for a couple more years, that they're going to have their shot to win a state amateur too.
Matt Tolan finishes fourth, the 2017 champion, and coming off the heartbreak at the Ray Fisher, another close call for Matt Tolan. He might be the guy that's always there now for quite some time, depending on, you know, whether he turns professional, when he turns professional, whether he goes pro, comes back to the amateur ranks. I mean, that's a guy that's kind of one of those that is right on that fence. And probably you could say the same thing about a number of guys behind Thomas Longbella, that if you were to forecast their professional chances, it might be to some a long shot. But Matt Tolan's shown some great consistency here over the last couple of years.
He sure has. I mean, he's got a number of top finishes in both the Fisher and the state amateur, including a victory in the state am. And yeah, he's there. He's on the first page of the leaderboard, it seems, in almost every tournament he plays in these days, statewide anyway. So, you know, for all these guys, the making it to the tour is a big stretch, but you know, the top, all those young guys in their early 20s, college players, they all have a chance if they, you know, apply themselves, if they put in the work, and if they believe in themselves, they all have a shot to get there.
And one more topic about the state amateur, as I go down to the fifth place spot, we finally find an Illinois golfer, Zach Place. And we were worried, and I know a lot of people were worried about whether we'd be handing out a lifetime exemption to somebody south of the border. And it didn't happen. Zach Place came as close as they could, but I think the Illinois golfers found out how tough the Wisconsin State Amateur is.
I think so, yeah. A number of them finished in the top 25, but none of them really sniffed the lead. And it was funny, Bill Linneman, the director of rules and competitions for WSGA, and a guy you know well, Rob, his closing remarks at the victory ceremony, he said, I'm just glad that a Wisconsin player won the state amateur. You know, those guys were holding their breath. It would have been fine, I guess, in some ways, if an Illinois player would have won. But just the optic in some ways isn't very good. And I think everyone was kind of relieved that Thomas Longbella just ran away with it.
Well, and I have to say, as we researched some of these guys, they all had a neat story. A lot of them, you know, are playing college golf and with no place to play, and really not sure if they've got the hope of being able to play this fall. So on the one hand, kudos to the WSGA for continuing to allow that to happen. And I don't know how it'll look going forward, but it did make the tournament better. I mean, those are some pretty good golfers that were in the field from Illinois.
Yes, three members of the Illinois Wesleyan team qualified, and all three made the cut, and all three finished in the top 25. I mean, they definitely added depth to the field. I just think it's probably a good thing they didn't add depth to the top, very, very top of the leaderboard. But they were a factor. I mean, you know, they all played a lot of Wisconsin guys. But yeah, the top three or four guys on the leaderboard were our Wisconsin guys. And I think WSGA and everybody's a little happy about that.
And lastly, another top 10 for Chris Cola out of Fond du Lac. He's headed back to Chico State on COVID eligibility. And he knows they won't play this fall. They were the D2s out here in California were among the first to say that they won't be playing until January at the earliest. But I think he's 8 for 8 in state am cuts, and he's got 4 or 5 now top 10 finishes. And so he continues to knock on the door. But as we segue from last week to this week, Gary, and we'll jump back to last week because you were at another great event. But Sam Anderson, the Badger golfer out of Stoughton, quietly finishes T6. He's another one who, ever since he got to Madison after spending his senior year of high school working on his game in Florida, has really come on. He's been a real stalwart for the Badgers, and maybe underappreciated, unheralded. He hasn't won anything, Gary, but he's been there. And before we came on on the air with our podcast here, over at the Oaks Golf Course in Cottage Grove today, State Open qualifier number 7. Of course, we're always looking forward to what's next here on Wisconsin.golf and the State Open just a couple weeks away at Blue Mound Golf and Country Club, the 100th edition. Sam Anderson, Gary, 6 under now through 11 with a 2-shot lead over Nathan Joy out of Franklin in that qualifier. Who knows? We may be hearing from Sam Anderson sooner than we think. And the guy's got the ability to play, and he showed it last week, and he's showing it today again, and leaving no doubt about getting into that state open.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed one thing about a lot of the guys who have come out of our state as excellent golfers, and I think Sam fills this bill. They all seem to be 6'4" or 5", you know, Jordan Ebrugge, Charlie Danielson, right. Sam Anderson, tall, strapping kid. Now, we got to get Sam to stop calling me Mr. D'Amato, though. That bugs me, Rob. Next time you see him, tell him to call me Gary, okay?
Call him Gary.
Folks, a little too much respect.
Word of the wise, if you see Gary D'Amato out mowing his lawn or out in the doing karaoke, it's Gary. Just call him Gary, folks.
So, exactly.
Absolutely. Well, we have a lot of – I got to say, that's been the weird thing here about this next generation. They're very polite, and they're very good at golf. So we're getting a lot of Mr. Hernandez's and Mr. D'Amato's from these kids that are really, you know – they want to do the right thing, so it's neat to see. But call him Gary, call me Rob, but don't call us late for the next event on the schedule, the State Open, which is in just a couple weeks. But Gary, the other one that we have to look back at, you were at just over the weekend, the Dairyland Duel, sponsored by Wisconsin.golf, Marquette alums and Wisconsin University of Wisconsin alums at the two Kohler courses. It looked like a great time, and I think everything that the two programs hoped it would be, it kept growing in stature because more and more alums wanted to play. What was your takeaway from what you saw up there at Whistling Straits?
Rob, I just wish I could have been in that in the Kohler Swing Studio on Friday night when they had their post round get together, and a few of them had some beverages, and a couple of them might have had one too many beverages. A couple guys showed up at the wrong course the next day. You know, that wouldn't have happened like at the Big Ten Championships. They would have gone to the right course.
Wow.
But it was a fun event. You could tell the guys really got into it. A lot of good-natured trash talking, because these guys know each other from these two programs. A lot of them grew up playing golf against each other as juniors. And got to know each other even better, competing against each other in college, the many times they went head-to-head. And so, you know, now that school's behind them and they've got jobs, a lot of them have families and kids, it's about getting together and reminiscing and telling tall tales and throwing barbs at each other. And they just had a lot of fun. It was competitive, too. I mean, those guys all wanted to win.
I look at the list of guys here, both sides, and you know, you see a name and it conjures up great memories. Danny Zimmerman out of Verona. I think he started at Illinois and transferred up. And you know, he had a great high school career and a solid college career. Matt Gerlach, former Badger, Gary, a good story here. Matt Gerlach helped me get to the old Scramble Finals back when I was playing up at Reedsburg Country Club. Matt's from Reedsburg. Wow. The late Jim Thomas was our pro up there, and JT asked me to play at the last minute in the regional or the local qualifier out at Cherokee, because one of the members that was on the team had taken ill that day. So I went down there, played, and because Matt Gerlach was so good and Jim Thomas was exceptional, we rode their coattails all the way to Disney World, but Matt couldn't go to the finals, and because he was going back to school, and it would have been against NCAA rules. I don't know if the rules now would have been allowed something like that to happen, but he got me there, and it was truly one of the – as good as our Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa Gulf Riders matches were down at Eagle Ridge and Galena, the open bars on the on some of the theme parks at Disney World were epic. it was probably like a lot of the guys last weekend, Gary. It was hard to tee it up the next day. I did find the right course each of the days, though, so that was good. And I tell you, that was one of the all-time great golf experiences, all thanks to Matt Gerlach. And then I look on the other side and I see Ben Sieg out of Marquette, and one of the media days at Erin Hills. You know, a lot of these guys have caddied at Erin Hills to make extra money during the summer, and Ben happened to be in our group, and boy, what a wonderful caddy. And again, you see where they get their great golf fundamentals playing for those two programs. great coaches over the years, and right now, you know, both programs are really making a mark on Wisconsin golf.
Yeah, this is an event, Rob, that I think everyone had so much fun. You know, a few guys had to pull out with COVID. They wound up, I think, with 22 or 23 players per team. And some of the guys that I talked to on the green before they went out in their shotgun start on Saturday on the Meadow Valley course, they were saying, we anticipate this being an annual event and getting as many as 35 to 40 guys per team, you know, in the future. So I think this event's here to stay. Guys had so much fun, and they're going to spread the word. They're going to tell players who couldn't make it this year, hey, you got to be here next year for this. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, Rob, it's competitive. Like Garrett Jones said, there's a lot of trash talking and joking around for 8 or 10 or 12 holes. And then coming down the stretch, all of a sudden it gets pretty quiet as guys are trying to beat the other their friends from the other team.
Well, I think it was Garrett and Nick Nelson that were trash talking already last month at the Fisher. So they were looking forward to this from the get-go. So, yeah, I'm glad it went off well. And, again, we haven't made much of it, but the final score was Marquette 45.5, Wisconsin 41.5. Although I did see Wisconsin won the Meadow Valley's portion 21.5 to 20.5. So they left with a good taste in their mouth. You probably couldn't ask for a better ending, could you? Each team wins the day. Marquette wins the overall. Someone's got to win unless you tie.
But, yeah.
You know, in that format, you probably like to have a winner every year so someone can at least, hold the trophy for 12 months. But, boy, what a fun event.
Yeah, it was close. And I think that adds to the allure of it, because if it's a blowout one way or the other, maybe guys aren't so enthused about coming back. But I think, you know, everyone saw how much fun it was, how competitive it was, and how close the matches were. So they all want to come back next year.
Well, that was the Dairyland Duel up at the Kohler courses over the weekend. Before we get to what's coming up, we got to tell you that you can get to the club at Lac La Belle and play the all-new golf course. 2 years in the making, the rebirth of a historic golf course is now available for both members and non-members, located conveniently between Milwaukee and Madison in the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc. Book your tee time today at club@laclabelle.com. Gary, I tweeted out before we went on the air, 4 big events today on the calendar. We've got the WSGA Junior first round going on there. And as we refresh the leaderboard down at the Legend at Brandybrook, Thomas Romano of Darien has a one-shot lead over a bunch of guys. He's at 1-under through 5, and not a kid that's had a ton of success, hasn't won very much, but I noticed was in the mix at, I believe it was State Am qualifying last month, and so Thomas Romano currently in the lead by 1 over Liam Moore O'Farrell, recent Milwaukee Marquette grab. Owen Covey of New Richmond, and Cameron Huss of Kenosha, Austin Georger of Appleton, Matt Miller of Baldwin, James Baker of Middleton, Dane Johnson of Middleton. So early on at the Legend at Brandybrook, over at the Legend at Bristlecone today, it's the state father-daughter. And Gary, I love the father-daughter, the father-son especially, always fun to see who's competing, because you get a lot of people who this might be their only tournament of the year, and it's that way again with the father daughter. I'm just going to quick call up the field here, because Chuck and Heidi Hinners, Heidi a former Badger golfer, Chuck a veteran amateur golfer from Madison, were supposed to be, and they had a WD this year, but they're hoping to be back. You get a lot of the college kids with their parents, and then you get a lot of the great college kids from yesteryear who, you know, if it's the one event that they're going to play, and it's a great opportunity. I know you've played a lot of special rounds when your dad was alive with him. Any good stories there? Did you ever play in a father, son, mother, son, any of those kind of mixed team things?
I never did, Rob. I wish I would have. I wish I could have talked my dad. You know, my dad took up golf when he was about 40. So, and he, you know, he could shoot in the low 80s at like Grand Park, but he wasn't a tournament golfer. And for that matter, really neither was I. But I'm assuming you played in it with Rachel and with your son.
We played in a lot of father-daughters when we were at the Bridges Golf Course in Madison way back in the day, but we never ever played in the state father-daughter. We were, by the time she got to be competitive, it was all about, WPGA events. And then she moved on to the WSGA women's events. And so we haven't, but we're talking, she's working up in Minnesota and they've got a neat mixed team event that kind of takes the place of the father-daughter, mother-son, all those. They just and so we're talking about maybe having me come back for that next year. I noticed too on the tee sheet today, Jack Gaudian, who owns the Legends course, is playing with his daughter Isabel, who nice. I believe graduated last year and you know doesn't really want to play college golf, but is still staying involved in the game. And they're paired with Jeff Schilling and his daughter Julia, who's kind of in the same boat. Julia just graduated from Kettle Moraine, but really didn't have the interest to play college golf. So I believe either go into Wisconsin or Marquette. And again, you know, these events are just going to grow in popularity because they're fun, first of all, and they give those who might have been competitive golfers at one point the ability to at least scratch the itch once a year. But no, to answer your question, we never did, and especially last year, it was at the Wild Rock Golf Course in Wisconsin Dells, and that was one of the courses in the first day of school rotation for the Hernandez first day skip. In our district, the only kids that would go to the school on the first day were the youngest kids in that building. So everybody else had one extra day of summer. And so we would always use that time to go up to the Dells to play golf. And we played Trapper's Turn. I think we played Christmas Mountain one year. But the last year we played Wild Rock. And, man, we had a great time. I still have pictures of, I think that was with Devin. And he, in front of that big painted silo on the back, or water tower on the back nine there, at Wild Rock. So it's just a lot of fun, but I will continue to monitor that. And then the last one, as we mentioned, is the State Open qualifying event number 7. I believe 8 qualifying events, one more to be played before the last chance qualifier next week for either those that didn't make it through the first time or those that couldn't make the first 7 in their schedule. That one was put in place for a lot of the mini tour guys that may be playing out of state. And so we'll see if who all bites on that. But as we've said in the past, really a good field shaping up for the State Open.
Yeah, you know, we start with two names at the top. Well, first of all, Dan Wiltman coming back to try to win for a third consecutive year, right? And a fifth time Correct. Overall, fifth which time would overall. tie for the most in State Open history. And then we've got two guys that between them have over 1,000 starts in PGA Tour sanctioned events, Skip Kendall and Mark Wilson. It's going to be really exciting to have those guys in the field. You know, most people would look at those guys and think, well, it's, you know, one of those two is probably going to win it, but they have to be on their A games to win the State Open with all the mini tour players and the good amateurs that we have in our state. Skip hasn't played a lot of competitive golf lately, and neither has Mark for that matter, working out for the PGA Tour. So it'll be fun to see what those guys do at Blue Mountain.
It sure will. And I know that for sure, Pearson Hunt coming back to play. That was, I think, the last event before he's heading off to Illinois. I'm just going to check to see if Harry Ott is in the field. And I don't, he is. Harrison Ott in the field. Had a great showing at the Western Am last week. Got through the round of qualifying with, I believe, in 12th place. He got the 12th seed and then lost in the first round of match play. Only 16 go to match play at the Western Am. It's one of the great stroke play to match play events in the country. So he's coming back. And then Hunter Eichhorn, who also played last week, started to show signs of breaking out of his summer-long slump. Had a good little stretch of holes there between the end of the second round and the start of the third round. So he's also in the field. So as Gary said, you know, all the characters that we talked about last week, and then Thomas Longbella, Gary told me, after he got home from winning the State Am last week, that he'll be coming back down the road to play in the State Open. So I don't know if we could ask for a better field for the 100th State Open, but that is just down the road. Gary, we talk about playing golf. You've been able to get out and play. And before we wrap up the podcast, we wanted to make mention of the fact that the Bull at Pinehurst Farms has joined on as a sponsor of Wisconsin.golf. But more importantly, for all of you listening, you can go play now. And Gary, you got a chance to play the Bull on the first day it was open. What did you think of how it came through a very kind of tenuous time in the course's history?
Yeah, I was really lucky, Rob. You know, I showed up and I thought the course would be packed, but they didn't have their website up. It was being reworked. And now the website, as I understand, went up today. So people can go online and make tee times and that sort of thing at the Bull. But so when I showed up, there were, you know, maybe 30 or 40 cars in the parking lot. It wasn't packed like I expected it to be. And I had a nice chat with the owners. And they said, you know, did you bring your clubs? You want to go out and play? So I played nine holes, had the course to myself, basically the front nine. And it was in remarkably good shape. You know, when you think about the bank taking care of the golf course for these first few months of the year on a shoestring budget, with probably not putting a lot of money into it, the course was really in good shape. The greens were a little bit slow. I expected that, but I'm sure already they've speeded up. And it was just exactly as I remembered the bowl to be, very scenic, fun, and challenging golf course. So it'll be fun to see what these new owners do. I think they've got some good plans. They've got a good marketing plan. They've got an events coordinator. And I think hopefully they'll be able to make their mark and carve out a niche there in Sheboygan Falls.
Surely covering the state amateur for 4 days at Milwaukee Country Club gave you the itch to get back out and play again. What's the next course on the review schedule, and where are you hoping to play this week, Gary?
Yeah, you know, I haven't, I've got to think about which course I'm going to go up and review next. I am going to try to sneak up. My brother's coming into town. We have our 38th annual D'Amato Open on Sunday, Rob. 38th annual. It's a tradition unlike any other. It's at Muskego Lakes, but my brother's flying in from Florida, and we're going to try to sneak up to Wild Rock, actually. You mentioned a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And try to play there on Thursday as a practice round. And then next week, I'm hoping to get out and review another golf course. I'm thinking maybe Bullseye or maybe Lake Arrowhead, a course up there. Probably Bullseye, since that's a course I know you know well, Rob, and now that it's open for public play, I'd like to get up there and play that one. I've never played it.
Yeah, I got to play it when I was back, and you know, the old home course in exceptional shape. And again, you know, I knew it was something special when I made the jump from, you know, some of the nine-hole public courses around the Rapids to Bullseye, and it was worth every penny back then. And it's in another one, kind of like the Bull, where, you know, Rapids being a paper mill town, coincidentally, the paper mill is going out of business here this year, and so it would be a good time to, you know, maybe, you know, cast some light on Bullseye, because it's a course that is, I think, one of the, you know, truly hidden gems, because it's, you know, tucked along the river, kind of hard to get to from you know, from any interstate, but like a lot of courses up there, like Sand Valley, like Lake Arrowhead, like the Ridges, and you know, not very visible, but worth getting there. And the course was in just absolutely fantastic condition. So the transition from a private club to a public course has not impacted the maintenance one bit. And the challenge of the course remains as good as ever. And they even put one of the holes, number 14, in the back before the kind of the signature par three, up on kind of built onto a shelf. I'll be curious, you know me, Gary, in holes that have water and bridges on them. I love bridges on the golf course. You know, I guess it's the old St. Andrews in me, and you know, the with the bridges on that course, and but they put a little creek in front of 14 at the end of a par five, and really toughened it up a little bit. And so I know they had a little bit of water problem on a couple holes because of some heavy rains the previous weekend when I was there on Father's Day, but I think you'll enjoy it. But I tell you, we've got so many great courses to play in the state. And today we posted a story from Dennis McCann unearthing, speaking of hidden gems, his hidden gem series took him to Turtleback Golf Course in Rice Lake. And Rice Lake, is that Lance Allen, the Rizzle? Isn't that the Rizzle?
That is Lance Allen's stomping grounds. Yep. I don't okay. know. Lance might hold the course record there. I'm not sure, but
well, that was before he got into TV work, and now that he's a bigwig down at WTMJ, he's probably got a standing tee time at Milwaukee Country Club for a guy of that stature. I mean, that's big stuff now. But he probably cut his teeth up at Turtleback, and when we've covered tournament golf, and a lot, you know, some of the guys from Northwest Wisconsin that would come down and play in state AMs and state opens, you know, inevitably you'd get two or three from Turtleback, and you know, they'd say, you know, what a great course it is. And all you got to do is look at some of the pictures that we posted with the story. You know, you've got elevation changes, you've got, you know, flowers guarding the back of greens, it looks like, and then just, you know, really it looks to be in great condition. And even some of the feedback we've gotten on Twitter and Facebook to Dennis's story kind of supports that. And a hidden gem, maybe no longer. Dennis has the good story. Go on there and read how Turtleback came to be named because of some course features. Have you ever played Turtleback? I've never played Turtleback. I've just heard great, great things about it.
I did play it once, Rob. And in fact, I played with the superintendent who designed the back nine, Todd Severu, took me around and we played. And yeah, I concur with everything Dennis said in his article. It's really a fine golf course. It's, apologies to Lance, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, you know, Rice Lake, way up there. But a very good golf course. That would be a tremendous golf course in any market. I mean, you could put that course in the Chicago or Milwaukee markets and it would be a hit.
Well, and kudos to Dennis for getting it. Hopefully, the fear with this hidden gem series, Gary, is that we're going to, turn some hidden gems into, courses that become too busy, because, part of the charm of some of these is you can walk out and play and not be bothered. And, but I think everybody in the, I don't know very many courses that aren't busy right now after the pandemic began, and golf continues to be one of the great popular sports. But hopefully Turtleback gets a few more eyeballs from people that might otherwise get up that way. But again, check out Dennis's work on Wisconsin.golf. Gary, as we finish the podcast, I know you'll be heading out to the State Junior at Brandybrook on Wednesday to catch the final round. And like I said, we've got State Boys Junior, the Sherry Steinhauer Girls at Blackhawk Country Club today, Pleasant View Golf Course tomorrow, more State Open qualifying, the State father-daughter. I'm really excited for the State Junior. Very seldom is it so close to the State Am. We had a lot of guys, kids that played in the State Am last week who are in the field this week. And we saw Brandybrook hold up quite well for the State Women's Open. It'll be a good test for those kids out there this week at Jack's Course.
Rob, isn't this stretcher a lot more fun than a few weeks ago when we wondered if we'd even be watching or playing tournament golf this summer?
Absolutely.
This is good. This is fun. And I'll tell you what, being at Milwaukee Country Club, we had to wear masks in the clubhouse, which was closed, but they opened, the locker room was open to the players. And the club graciously let Jim Kelch and I work in a room up in the clubhouse. But other than that, I mean, it just felt really normal. It just felt like every other state amateur I've ever been at. And it's just a pleasure to be able to go out and see people playing and enjoying golf right now.
Sure is. It sure is. And again, a major championship week, the PGA at the end of the week, Steve Stricker in the field. You're now 2021 Ryder Cup captain. And so can't think of a better week here to bridge the gap between the State Am and the State Open. And we'll be busy on our end. Keep checking out Wisconsin.golf. And, of course, we'll be back next week talking more golf. Gary, appreciate the time. Go mow your lawn and clear the calendar to get out and play golf with your brother. Sounds like a great week ahead for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Rob.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.golf, sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, which recently celebrated the grand opening of its all-new golf course, the rebirth of this historic course, now available for both members and non-members, and located conveniently between Milwaukee and Madison in the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc. See what all the talk is about with this remake of one of the oldest courses in the state, and test your game with native fescue grasses, undulating greens, and Scottish roots. Book your tee time today at clubatlaclabelle.com. We'll talk more golf again next week.